grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You Christians are pagans. How can you believe this rot? Three gods equals one God? Foolish. Well, let's see. You know, we're supposed to know the right ways between law and gospel. That's pretty heavy law, isn't it? But folks, that's not a new accusation. You know, today's Trinity Sunday. Why is it so important? Well, we're going to look at that today. Because the Trinity is important. I was keeping track as we did this today. We said Father, Son, and Holy Spirit three times before we got to this point. Why do we stress the Trinity? Think about that for a second before I get into it. Was it something I said? Something I'm going to say. Yeah, you got it.
Something you could say.
This all started with a man by the name of Marcion in the 2nd century. Marcion was a shipbuilder. And as a shipbuilder, he was pretty pragmatic. You know, A equals B and B equals C. You know, you got to go through that all left-brain stuff. And so, Marcion said, you know what? We just need Jesus. And Jesus is God. So let's get rid of the Old Testament. Threw it out. He said, why do we need the letters of Paul, which had just started to come around? So we threw those out. You know what he said? The Bible just needs to be Luke. And that's what it was. And folks, it spread like wildfire. In fact, St. Athanasius and St. Augustine, who we quote a lot in Scripture, both were part of that heresy. Until the Paul's letters really started to get around and they started reading and said, hey, wait a second, that's not what Paul, one of the apostles, has written. So between the 2nd and 3rd century, there's a lot of stuff going on. Is that still here today? Yes, that heresy still is today. Coptic Christians in Egypt still downplay, you know, the Son just so we can have God. It's that whole idea is that the Trinity is not important. Well, a basic question for all of us is how can we take three gods and make them into one God? Because when you try and explain the Trinity to somebody, you're talking about a Father, you're talking about a Son, you're talking about a Holy Spirit. Aren't there three different beings? No, that's the sin of modalism. If you ever get a chance, and I wish I had it, I could play it for you today. Huh? Yeah, but it won't. Oh, bring it up. I wonder if it would play. Well, no, but we can put it through the microphone. There's a site called Lutheran Satire. And this was written for St. Patrick's Day. You know, because St. Patrick tried to talk about the Trinity with the clover, okay? Because you have three leaves on the clover, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all tied into the same stem, right? Okay, that stem makes it a little bit tough, doesn't it? So, does that explain the Trinity? No, not really. Well, what about ice? Would ice explain the Trinity? Think about that for a second. Well, we have water, we have ice when it gets cold, and we have steam when it gets warm. Three different things, but it's all made out of the same thing, right? No, those are three separate. Yeah. Let's come over here. Put it through here. Okay.
Okay, Patrick, tell us a bit more about this Trinity thing. Yeah, Patrick, tell us. But remember that we're simple people without your fancy education and books and learning. And we're hearing about all of this for the first time. So try to keep it simple, okay, Patrick?
Yeah, real simple, Patrick.
Sure, there are three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet there is only one God.
Don't get what you're saying here, Patrick. Not picking up what you're laying down here, Patrick. Could you use an analogy, Patrick?
Sure. The Trinity is like water, and how you can find water in three different forms.
persons, but that he merely reveals himself in three different forms. This heresy was clearly condemned in Canon 1 at the First Council of Constantinople in 381 AD, and those who confess it cannot rightly be considered a part of the Church Catholic. Come on, Patrick! Yeah, get it together, Patrick!
Okay, then the Trinity is like the sun in the sky, where you have the star, and the light, and the heat.
Oh, Patrick. Come on, Patrick. That's Arianism, Patrick.
Arianism?
Yes, Arianism, Patrick. A theology which states that Christ and the Holy Spirit are creations of the Father and not one in nature with him. Exactly like how heat and light are not the star itself, but are merely creations of the star. That's a bad analogy, Patrick.
You're the worst, Patrick. All right, sorry. The Trinity is like this three-leaf clover here.
I'm going to stop you right there, Patrick. Yeah, hold your horses, Patrick. You're about to confess partialism.
Partialism?
Yes, partialism, a heresy which asserts that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not distinct persons of the Godhead, but are different parts of God, each composing one-third of the divine.
And who confesses the heresy of partialism?
The first season of a cartoon program, Voltron, where five robot lion cars merge together to form one giant robot samurai, obviously.
I've never heard of Voltron.
Of course you haven't. It's not going to exist for another 1,500 years now, Patrick.
Yeah, get with the program, Patrick.
I mean, really, Patrick.
I'm going to stab you in the face, Patrick.
Okay, that was probably a bit much.
All right, I'll try again. The Trinity is like how the same man can be a husband and a father and an employer.
Holism again.
All right, then it's like the three layers of an
animal. Partialism revisited.
Fine. The Trinity is a mystery which cannot be comprehended by human reason, but is understood only through faith and is best confessed in the words of the Athanasian Creed, which states that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance, that we are compelled by the Christian truth to confess that each distinct person is God and Lord, and that the deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-equal in majesty.
Well, why didn't you just say that, Patrick?
Yeah, quit beating around the bush, Patrick. Now let's all put on some giant green foam hats, get riotously drunk, and vomit to the Chicago River to celebrate our conversion.
You know, it's actually correct, but gee, many Christmas. Look at the heresies that are involved with it. But where does all this tie together? Well, we're going to be saying the Athanasian Creed in a minute, and the word that's in there is substance. Okay. When we're talking the Trinity, we're talking one God with three substances. Okay. The substance in Greek is ousia. It's where we get the word ooze. Okay. It flows out. So the Father flows out. The Son flows out. The Holy Spirit flows out because it's all part of the same substance. You know, that's the thing that we get into. Is the word Trinity in the Bible? No, that's a made-up word. In fact, it's a Latin word, so it couldn't be in the Bible. But how do we know there's a Trinity? Genesis 1, verse 2, and God sent His Spirit out over the waters. Okay, Holy Spirit. But yet, his name in Hebrew is Elohim. El is God. Ohim is many. God is many. Now, I've heard Jewish theologians say, oh, but that's not what it means. You can have a plural ending on a singular word. Well, I don't know. The way I learned it, if you got a plural ending, there's probably plurality in there someplace. Okay? You know, a couple of weeks ago, I preached on the, well, at least I mentioned it, it's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Well, yeah, he is one. Because of paganism, you have more than one God. Okay? That's why I started off today. I accused you all of being pagans, because you got more than one God. Well, no, we don't. But why is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit called one God? Well, we know from the Catechism, Father did creation, the Son did redemption, Holy Spirit's the sanctifier, right? Three different gods. No. One person, three substances. Three parts of the same whole. If it's so hard for us to grasp, how do you think it is for non-Christians to grasp? It's not easy. You know, what we're trying to do is understand God with something that's up here, okay? His brain is so much more advanced. His way of thinking is so much more advanced. And then we're trying to comprehend it with our human brains. You know, remember in the catechism, I cannot by my own reason or strength. You can't. I can't understand it. So I just got to accept it. St. Patrick and that clover, I thought it was great. All right, now I'm going to read you what the Book of Concord says about the Trinity. You heard a little bit of it in that. And I'm just going to read three paragraphs out of almost 20 pages worth of information. We believe, teach, and confess that the Son of God, although from eternity, he has been a particular, distinct, and entire divine person, and thus with the Father and the Holy Ghost, true, essential, perfect God, nevertheless, in the fullness of time, assumed also a human nature into the unity of his person, and not in such a way that there now are two persons or two Christs, but that Jesus Christ is now one from eternity and a true man, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, as it is written in Romans 9:5, of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. That's the first paragraph. Now, in the seminary, we've got to be able to digest all this stuff. And that really, that's why you called me here, is so that I can sit here and go through this stuff and at least try and explain it. You know, Lord knows how he's made. And how do we accept that? Through faith. You know, but what is it? Who is God? That's my sermon today. Who is God and why is he important to us? Do we need to be able to explain the Trinity? Of course not. He is who he is. He's our creator, our redeemer, our sanctifier, all in one person. And all at the same time. Can we get so involved in the minutiae, the little things, that we forget the basic message of Christianity? Of course. So what is that basic message? Why do you think we had John 3:16 in our message today? That's what our gospel is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. I miss the fact that they took begotten out. Okay? That whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life. Isn't that what it means to us, the Trinity? Isn't that what we share? Isn't that what we need in our lives? That he loved us so much that he sent Jesus to redeem us. The ransom that he paid on the cross for us. There's the basic meaning of Christianity. You know, one of the things we spend hours, we spend weeks going through all this stuff to tear it apart. Is it important? Yes. Is it one of those things that all of us need to know every day? No. Because what is important is that Jesus died on the cross for us. And isn't that why we're here? Because of that promise of eternal life. You know, as what was said in the gospel lesson, how can you believe in the things unseen if you can't believe in the things that are seen? Folks, we have seen miracles in our daily lives. We know Jesus loves us. And that's the first thing we learned as kids, is Jesus loved us. Isn't it? God so loved the world. And in this, we have that truly, truly, I say to you. No, it's verily, verily, I say unto you. It's one of those things, verily, we have a word that cannot be questioned. It is truth. It is what Christianity means for us, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But he is in one nature with the Father, and he's in one nature with the Holy Spirit. So not only did Jesus die on that cross, the Father died on that cross, the Holy Spirit died on that cross. And all three of them come to be with us too. There's Christianity. Let us pray. Lord, the joy of this result. We cannot understand the process, but we can certainly love the result. Eternal life with you the Father, with you the Son, and with you the Holy Spirit. Enough said, and amen.